Tone Sessions. You're on with Candace,
Delia,
and Jazz
here in the Mapo area, grabbing coffee and just catching up on our week. Man, with all that's been going on in the world, all these images that's coming out, we gotta talk about voice, especially as a double minority, a black woman.
Yep.
Finding your voice is no easy feat, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's been a
journey. It's a journey. It's like a lifelong journey.
It's a journey. It's a journey that I have decided to cut a little short because I ain't got no more time to be finding it. It's got to be found by now. The world needs it. It's only half baked, but it's better than nothing. That's where I'm at right now.
No, that's
good. You're right.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it.
Okay.
So my question is, as a black woman, I mean, we're a double minority. I mentioned earlier, like, women didn't get the right to vote too much after men did.
Yeah.
But black women, in particular, I mean, we were last.
Yeah.
So finding our voice now has been an issue. How have you personally, Delia, how have you personally been able to find your voice as an educated black woman? And then how do you even assert that voice once it's found?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, growing up in a family of primarily women, it wasn't difficult to be vocal.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't difficult in my family to have a voice and to say what we needed to say, because my family was primarily women.
Yeah.
And so I guess I just have kind of always been comfortable being able to be that part of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up and kind of being with other women outside of my family and hearing their points of views, and even my mindset has shifted over time, you know, over the years and different things like that. I don't know. I think I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to navigate that. And I'm still learning how to take in information and to take in facts and then produce my own opinions.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's still a big part. Yeah, that's still a process I think I'm on.
Yeah.
You know, I read a lot of articles. I listen to a lot of people. And there are people that I agree with and disagree with, you know. And then it's like, okay, well, what do I feel like is my like full opinion about this topic,
right?
You know? And then talking to people about it helps also to kind of, you know, because I might talk to someone and it's like, okay, yeah, I agree with some of what you're saying, but maybe not all of it, you know? And so then you just, I don't know, I guess I'm kind of still in that process of figuring out how that works for me and what my voice really is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's still a process. How about you, Jess?
I think as a double minority, it takes a long time to find your voice, because growing up in schools, you're, especially for people who grew up in the suburbs, like suburban America,
right,
you're shown a certain template of what it looks like to engage with society, to respond to, you know, especially in an educational atmosphere, like, this is how the mainstream is engaging, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with current events and topics, like controversial things.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as a woman, you differ from that. Like, if the standard is a white male,
right, you already got
I'm a black female. Like, exactly. I oppose a lot of that, you know? So it's like, how do you, I don't know, I think I agree with Dee. I'm still on that journey of finding my voice and figuring out where I stand on certain issues.
Yeah.
But I think my journey abroad has grown me in that, you know what I mean? Like, meeting different people from around the world, having certain experiences for myself firsthand, all of that plays into how I articulate certain things, how I decide what is truth or not, you know what I mean?
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
It is a process and it is a journey. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I felt like it was time. Like, I had enough time under my belt and enough experiences to say, you know what, these things are definitive for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not about misogyny on any level, or I'm not going to be silent when I feel like there's something very, and I'm not going to be silent in a room when men are talking because men are talking.
Yep.
And that, in a workplace, like, that was a hard thing for me to actually, I remember, like, my face would go red and I would feel heat because I knew I wanted to say something and I knew I wasn't being asked to speak because men were speaking.
Yep.
And this is, like, you know, 2017. So I think for me, it's not so much about finding my voice. It's now using it. I find that now.
Yep,
like, I think I found it. I know what I believe now. I know who I am now. I know that this isn't going to change. Like, I know that my position on a lot of things is not going to change now, because enough has educated me to solidify that opinion.
Yeah.
Now it's fighting for the time to say it. Right. And that's crazy. Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy. Like, sexism is a real thing that I'm experiencing regularly, especially in Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, identity is key. Like, knowing who you are.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, like, knowing who God says you are, like, having that unchangeable, unmovable plumb line of truth, like, this is who I am,
right,
this is what I'm about, this is what I stand for, and anything else, right, that's secondary, you know? Yeah. So having that as kind of, like, your place that you can't be moved from, that obviously impacts how you view certain things, like, your worldview, how you... take a stand on certain issues. I don't know. All of that is a part of the process of, like, finding your voice and using it, like you said.
Right.
Very true.
So, in finding your voice and using it and asserting yourself, have you ever been labeled or seen as the angry black woman?
Just in general, like, in life?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Especially as a teacher. I feel like, I remember I went to an interview once, specifically here in Seoul, and I was asked, you know, if I would be, like, black mama in my classroom. They asked me that question.
In your interview?
In my interview.
Wow.
And my response was yes. Yes, I will be.
Because it's effective.
Because it gets the job done. But I need you to understand that that's not all I will be.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, I will love my babies as best as I possibly can.
Right.
And that love sometimes does include discipline.
Right.
You know, and it's not just me being like a black mama, it's me just being a woman who loves her students.
Right.
You know, but I had to make that very clear, especially because this was a school where none of the students had ever had a teacher of color before. And so there were going to be a lot of questions from parents, like, who is this woman? What is she doing? You know, because they've just never been used to it before. And so I had to navigate that a little bit.
Right.
But I mean, sure, you know, of course, back home as well, you get the angry black woman anytime your voice gets too loud. You know, I'm Caribbean, we're loud. So it's just like a thing, you know, but you know, anytime your voice gets too loud or you're passionate about something, you know, that's kind of the stereotype, that's kind of the label that gets put on you.
But how does that affect how you use your voice?
Yeah.
Because in some sense, there is like this, it's a tricky thing because it's like, you don't want to be seen as the angry black woman. You don't want to, you know, but then at the same time, you have something to say and you need to say it. And sometimes it needs to just be said. And sometimes tone needs to be involved to communicate what you're trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you got to take it there.
Yeah.
But it's a fine line.
It's a very fine line. And y'all know I have a filter that's on pretty much all the time, except when I'm with certain people.
Right.
So, you know, I think you just kind of have to know the situations that you're in sometimes. And then sometimes, honestly, I don't give two F's.
Yeah.
So sometimes it comes out because I just don't care. And I just have to say what's on my mind, and I don't want to be, sometimes I'm just not in a position where I'm like, I don't really care about your feelings. Right now, my feelings is what matters, and who I am is what matters. But most of the time, to be honest, you know, I'm in my double consciousness.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to navigate that world.
I think I get tired of it. It's too weighty. It's too much. Like, what other people group has to think about this?
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Like, what other group has to be aware of this 24/7, especially when you're in mixed company and especially if you're the minority in the room?
This is my thing with it. This is what I was thinking about, is what we say and how we say it, when we mean what we say, has a name. Angry black woman. When it's a white male, it doesn't even have a name.
Right.
He's just communicating.
Right.
You don't even talk, and validated. It's not a conversation.
Right.
You can't tell me one time where you heard angry white man, you know what I'm saying, in a boardroom or something like that. He was just doing his job.
Yeah.
So it had, the fact that it even has a name is where the problem begins.
Yeah.
I'm communicating how I communicate. Effectively, efficiently, I communicate like Bob is communicating when he leads a board meeting. I'm not smiling when I lead that meeting.
Yeah.
I'm not asking no questions because I don't have any questions.
Right. Yeah.
Except, did you understood what I said?
Like,
and I walk out, oh, she's so, Because when Bob did it, he was good.
Yep.
Y'all hop too.
Yeah.
So I'm done with that. Like, you're not going to tell me You're not going to ask me if I'm an angry black woman. I'm a woman. And you asking me that question is making me angry. African-American. That's it.
Right.
Like,
but you know what? Going back to the Drake video, that scene with Issa Rae, and she's in the boardroom at the table. It's all white men. Yep.
You see the father with the girl, and then you
and
see
she
her.
Tells, like, she's, yeah, that's she's her like, life. Shut up. Like, she tells them to shut up, and they all sit down, they quiet down, and they listen to her. And I was like, oh my God.
But you know when she walked out what they were saying.
But still, to see that particular image as a part of the music video, I was like, okay.
I'm owning it now. I'm like, it has a name because you gave it a name, but for anybody else, it's just how they communicate. So far, call me angry black woman or don't. I'm still going to, that's how I communicate because I realize in this world, right now where we are, significant change has to be met with a significant voice.
Yeah.
Whatever you call it.
That's good.
And I'm done sacrificing my voice because silence is a bigger sin.
Yeah.
Silence is the bigger sin.
Being
oh my gosh, that negligence, we own that.
Yeah.
So I'd rather on this side of the cross be called angry black woman than on the other side to say, why did you let it why did you silently let it happen?
Yeah.
I'm not going
after
that.
I think the stakes are too high now to shrink back right now.
Especially now.
Yeah.
No shrinking back.
Yeah, I agree. We agreed on something.
We started off a little bit on the different sides.
It's a rocky start, but that's what you can do with 7 years of friendship.
There you go. There you go. That's what it is, y'all. That's what it is. But I think that speaks to the legacy that we want to leave behind. Mm-hmm. You know
what
I mean?
Point.
We want our daughters, we want our nieces, we want our children to be able to have their voice, to find their identity, to know who they are, to find their voice, and to be able to speak it no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what. You know what I mean? And not play no games.
Right.
And that's the legacy that's what we want to have, and then that's the legacy we want to leave behind.
And the groundwork starts with us
I mean, I don't have children, but I think I would be heartbroken to know that my daughter was out there in society or in a classroom and she's shrinking back because she's nervous about being labeled an angry black woman and she's not articulating what's on her mind. Like, how heartbreaking is that as a parent or as a family member?
It's devastating.
Right. To think that they don't get a chance to say what they want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where they're second guessing everything that they need to say.
I want them to be empowered.
Which is, I think, what gave room for the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. The reason why there's so many Me Toos. Because when something happens, you can't even say that.
Right.
Forget being angry black. You can't even say victim.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And now we're hiding that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Meanwhile, this job is gonna get done.
Yeah.
And you're not. It's over. It's over. The next generation will not have to deal with this crap. I'm not here for that.
Right. No, that's good. That's some good stuff. Woo. All right, y'all. Well, we out here. This is the year of the woman.
We covered a lot.
We're doing what we got to do.
Yeah.
To leave a legacy behind.
Yes.
To change the culture. To
even
be a
in
part
another
of the
country,
movement.
We are part of the movement.
To push back. It's time to push back, challenge, and question.
That's right. That's right.
Hit us up in the comments. Tell us what you think about what's happening with the movement. Maybe any questions you have about the things that we said, because I think we've covered a lot of stuff. And we raised awareness in some areas that it needed to be raised.
Yeah.
So follow us. Let us know what is up. You know where to find us. We on the cloud.
That's right.
We on the gram. I'm shorting all platforms right now. We on the book. Hit us up, y'all. We're here for y'all, okay?
All right. Until next time.
See y'all later.